On.
How does Pujariji compare to other black vessies?
The first and foremost thing, when I came here, I was in need of some space and some help. And I could have been very well rejected. No, you can't sit here. I was welcomed very warmly. And I felt very, very much at home when I came here. Because I had a young wife who was sick and in the middle of nowhere, away from my home. I needed some shelter. And he immediately welcomed me. Most warm heart. So I felt very comfortable and very much at home. Maybe I had drank some water. I think we had some prasad also. And then he was kind enough to let us stay as much time as we want. There was no pressure on us indirectly that we had to leave within few minutes of time. You can't just stay longer over here. After we felt comfortable, we asked him what is the pastime of this place. And he was like so eager to tell the pastime immediately. What my experience is then and now, that whenever we go to any place, the first purpose of the locals is to ask for money. The first thing they will ask, money. Here there was no question of money anywhere involved. Only heart-to-heart discussion. So over the years, what I realized, that a real Brijwasi means one who welcomes you with a broad heart. Whenever you come, it's not like that you come then 9 to 5, then only I'll welcome you. And if you come 5:30, I don't welcome you. Or whenever you come, it's only something if you give me, then only I'll welcome you, otherwise I'll not welcome you. Brijwasi means he welcomes you at any point of time, makes you comfortable, makes you feel happy, at home, gives you prasad and sweet words. And then he narrates to you the pastime of his place, wherever he belongs to. So he was so eager, and he is with so much of love, in his own local, beautiful, sweet language, he explained the pastime. And when he explained the pastime, there was no expectation from me anything, that I should give something in return. So, unfortunately, today's situation is different. The Brijwasis, they simply feel that whoever comes and whatever they have belongs to us. So the maximum out of that I should be getting, because I deserve it. It's my right to have whatever they have, they think they own. It's all us. It all belongs to us. And with that mood, they approach people and they just intimidate them. But we fortunately meet so many Brijwasis. One of them was Babulal Sharmaji, who was like so generous hearted, so selfless, so unexpected of any gifts or any donations. Actually, so I remember so many Brijwasis like that, who will give their share to you to make you comfortable. So like that, Babulal Sharmaji was there. That's why the story of my interaction with him happened in 1986 December. But I have repeated the story hundreds of times till now. Because such a genuine, selfless, loving exchange that you have with a genuine Brijwasi, how can you forget? Everywhere else you meet people who are selfish and you are exploiting and who are not genuine and who will never tell you anything about the holy place and who will never yield dham to you. They are simply out of exploiting to you. So this kind of behavior is the one which we see and read in scriptures. The Brijwasis were so welcoming and so loving. And they were having so much love for their place where they belong to. They would share that love for that place through the pastime to whoever would come to that place. That is their greatness. And it is through those people who live in that place, who are constantly meditating on that pastime, who, when they revealed it to you out of love, then the person who is visiting gets the feeling, gets the realization of that pastime, of that place. Otherwise, the pastime is as a mechanical pastime, told mechanically in two lines to people, and 50 lines will be told how to give money and how you must give money. Only two lines pastime and 50 lines of all other things. Here, only pastime, only love, only welcoming, only grand heart of generosity. So this is what I felt about Babulalji. That's why I remember him. That's why when I came now after many years, I could immediately identify, oh, this is the person I met. I remember him very well. In this particular hall, we sat down and we discussed the pastimes. Any other question? I would like to add,
it was Ma in the
picture. I didn't remember seeing her. Definitely not. Maybe she was not there, or, but I only remember meeting him.
And do you remember what was the front of the temple, or the location of the temple?
Location of the temple was same. There was the hall where your car is parked now. That is, the hall was there. The temple room was there. The temple darshan hall was there. Inside, of course, I never went to know anything. The same thing was there. Everything was same. That was same.
And the deities?
Deities were same. Yeah. I don't remember seeing the old deities which you told me that they were stolen. I don't remember seeing them. Whatever I remember is seeing what I see now, today. Of course, you must have added some shaligrams and other things. But the main deity, Radha Banbihariji, was same. Shaligram, Govardhan Shilas, and same position were like that. And any more question? I would like to add on to complete the whole picture. Is in this place there is one more forest called Ashoka Van, inside Kusum Van, where Narad Muni came and sat in meditation one time. And when he sat in meditation, he saw that each and every tree of Ashoka became gopi, and they dressed up, did the shringar, and they entered Raslila in front of his eyes. So when he opened his eyes, he saw, all the trees are gopis here. They are meditating in the daytime. And in the evening time, everybody is becoming gopi and dressed up and going. So that was Narad Muni's realization in the Ashoka forest, inside the Kusum forest. Then when Narad Muni came to Braj Bhumi, when Radharani was born, he put up his own chart and he located the house in Gokul, that Rawal, that this is the place where she is born. So he went there and he asked, is there any baby born here? So the mother and father of the whoever was there, husband and wife, they said, no, we have only one son. There is no girl born here. So then he went away. He thought, how can my calculation go wrong? How can I put a wrong chart? You know, I think I put a right chart. So let me see again. And he was just thinking and he was going away. At that time, the ladies in the house told the husband and wife that, he looks to be a very great sadhu actually. Maybe by his blessings, your daughter will open her eyes. It was Radharani who was born, was blind and was not opening her eyes, not making any sound and not cognizing any, recognizing any sound. So apparently she was deaf, dumb and blind. They were very shy and they felt, oh, how beautiful girl, but it's inauspicious to have a blind, deaf and dumb girl. But then the ladies convinced her that, you know, by the blessings of pure devotees like Narad, whoever has come, anything can happen. So why don't you call him again and tell him the truth? So the ladies ran on her instruction and called Narad Muni back and said, yes, there is a baby girl born here. So he came running behind, thinking, my calculation was right, it's not wrong. So as soon as he went inside the house, they took him right inside the house in the cradle where the baby was there. And Narad Muni was so happy, he offered prostrated dandavats to her. And they said, Maharaji, we have a difficulty, our baby is not opening her eyes and not, apparently she's deaf and dumb also, what to do? He said, no, nothing to worry, everything is fine. You just arrange a big festival, because they were hesitating to arrange a festival of a blind and deaf and dumb girl. So he said, no, you arrange a birth festival, don't worry, just arrange a festival, but do not forget to call Radha, Krishna and Balram, and Yashoda and Nanda. And then he immediately gave them the list of preparations and they all ran away to get the preparation done. And he was left alone with the cradle and the baby. And immediately, as soon as everybody went away, she just assumed a 16-year-old youthful form, Kishori. To Narad Muni. Narad Muni fell down again and again at her feet, unconscious, cutting up, again offering the underworlds, glorifying her. And then he said that, I want to see you with your Ashtasakhis. So she said, you have to go to Kusum Sarovar. There you will see me with Ashtasakhis. So he started coming from there, Rawal. And in the meantime, of course, then they arranged the festival and everything. Then Krishna Balaram came and she opened her eyes. That's a different story. But Narad Muni was so ecstatic after darshan of Kishori Radharani that he fell down on the ground, he tumbled, he somersaulted, and he didn't know when he reached Kusum Sarovar. All the while he was just in ecstasy, completely rolling in the dust and coming around. Finally, when he reached Kusum Sarovar here, at this south petal of Kusum Sarovar, Madhavi Gopi and Vrinda Devi came. to receive him. And he was so blissful, they both of them gave him bath in the south corner of Kusum Sarovar. And at that time, he became Naradiya Gopi. He became a Gopi, female. And then both of them dressed him as beautiful as anybody can imagine. With their own hands, they put ornaments and they put cloth and everything. And made her a very beautiful Gopi, held her hands and took her right in the middle of Kusum Sarovar. Now Kusum Sarovar has an arrangement of a big lotus in between. Very big whorl of the lotus with beautiful petals and thousands of petals with first 8 petals around that. And on the whorl of the lotus, on the jeweled throne, Radha and Shamsundar are seated there. And all the sakhis are standing in their own petal. And each of the gopi, Ashta Sakhi, is serving in some particular way, singing, dancing, or offering some sweets or some tambul, a variety of services. But each one is doing their service in the own petal. In the middle of the petal whirl, they are sitting. So Vrindadevi Madhavi Gopi took Naradiya Gopi, now Gopi, very beautiful Gopi, all the way right on the whirl of the lotus, where the divine couple is sitting. And then they gave a chamar in her hand. And she served the divine couple with the chamar. While doing like this, in between she will see their lotus faces and she will do chamar seva like this. A long time she did chamar seva. And thus, Narada Muni received darshan of Radharani, Shamsundar and Ashta Sakhis together at the bank of Kusum Sarovar. And then the two gopis, Vrindadevi and Madhavi Gopi, brought her back at the southern petal, again gave her bath, and he assumed again Narada Muni form, male form. In the meantime, while he was leaving, Radharani instructed him that please write your bhakti sutras, how to worship deities in details. So he said it will take some time to write down. I have a curse that I cannot stay more than 3 days in any place. So Radharani said, yes, this curse is there. Daksha cursed you, I know that. But that curse is applicable only in the material world where repeated birth and death take place. This is not material world. This is my home, which is not afflicted by any laws of material world. So the law of the curse that you have upon you from Daksha is not applicable at my home in Braj. So you can stay here as long as you like. So he was so happy and ecstatic. He was brought back, he became Narada Muni again. And he went singing and dancing towards, little away from Kusum Sarovar. And he stayed here at Naradvan, where he did his bhajan, performed tapasya, and wrote Narada Bhakti Sutras also. This is another story of this place. Another story of this place is that one time Radharani came to pluck flowers as usual, and Sri Krishna knew that she is coming. And you know, the forest was so big that not necessarily all the time all the gopis were together. They was to get lost in the wilderness and come together afterwards. So Sri Krishna went in a very thick tree filled with flowers, where if you are there in the tree, you would not be seen. So many leaves and flowers were there. So he went on a higher branch of the tree and he lowered it by his weight, you know. It was high, but when he sat on the branch in such a way, the branch came much lower to the approachable height so that Radharani can pick the flowers very easily. So Radharani very happily came and, you know, she saw, oh, what a beautiful twig all the way coming down, filled with flowers. So generally what you do, generally you and me also, whenever we go to pick flowers, we will just hold the twig in hand first and then we will start picking flowers. You know, whichever we, okay, next one, we'll hold it, bring it near us and we'll pick it. So she held that branch and with one hand, and the other hand she was picking flowers. And what Krishna did, just left that branch where he was sitting on. So all his weight, which was bending the whole branch down, when he moved from that to another one, they just zoop, it just went up. And because she held it quite tight, she also was raised all the way. And then he jumped from the tree down and started laughing and clapping, and she was in so much anxiety. And she was like, started calling her friends, and all the friends came running, Radharani, what happened? And they saw her hanging. And she didn't know what to do. So then he said, jump down. So she jumped down, and Krishna just embraced her when she came down. And she was so angry actually. In the heart she was very happy. But externally, because all the gopis were watching in anxiety, she showed external anger. But she was very happy in the embrace of Krishna. This also took place in this place. And another pastimes is that when she was caught up with the gardener, then there was a deep, heavy argument. He said, "Who are you?" She asked, "Who are you?" He said, "Why you came here?" He said, "Why you came here?" Then he said, "Did you plant any tree? Did you water any tree?" So she asked, "Did you plant any tree, water any tree over here? Why are you asking this question to me? You are nobody over here. Who are you to ask any question to me?" So like that, the argument took place. So every time the mood is different, and constantly, every single moment, the picking flower pastime, and the argument pastime, and the hairdressing pastime keep taking place here regularly. This is Kusum Sarovar. So when Jamuna Devi filled up water, that time the whole pond was called as Kusum Sarovar, because the flowers were washed over here. And also Ashtavakra Muni performed his tapasya at the banks of Kusum Sarovar. Ashtavakra Muni. He also performed in Atas village, Devi, one village called Atas near Vrindavan. A few 5 kilometers from Vrindavan, the village called Atas. So the name is upon Ashtavakra Muni. He also stayed there. But he also performed his tapasya in the banks of Kusum Sarovar. Also, this is the last place of Balramji's. So Balramji's temple is here. Beyond this, it doesn't go, because out of respect for Krishna's conjugal pastimes, intense pastime which take place in Radhakund area. So from here, Radhakund area begins. That's why he is just from here only observing with great respect and reverence the conjugal pastimes of his younger brother. Hare Krishna.